Welcome to Mastering the Shift, Living Your Noetic Reality. I am your host, Rebecca Skeel. This show supports awake, conscious, and compassionate new paradigms. You carry compassion and are the integral part of co-creating the new. Welcome, and thank you for joining today. And I would actually like to begin today's show by acknowledging you. You know, if you are a regular listener, I want to thank you. If maybe you have just received a link to this show and are listening for the first time, I want to say welcome and thank you. Or if you found me on the web and are listening to this show in an archived situation, I want to say thank you. And I want to say thank you because this particular show is focused on shifting consciousness. And so if you are listening to this show, there's probably a lot of shifting going on in your life or a lot of transformation, or you're in a place of taking a look at what doesn't work for you anymore and probably hasn't worked for a long time. And sometimes when we are in that place of shifting or knowing that a change is coming or knowing that a transformation is coming, you know, it can be scary. It can be real scary to step into the unknown. It can be very uncomfortable as you let go of your old beliefs, the old ways of perceiving your life. You know, I know there are millions of people just like you that are tired of playing a hide-and-seek game with themselves. And when I say that, what I'm really saying is that they're tired of playing a hide-and-seek game with the truth. And they're so ready to unburden themselves from the past that holds regret or guilt or shame or resentment. And they're also feeling a very deep stirring in their heart that there is more that they could be experiencing, more happiness, more peace, more prosperity, and more loving. So if you're listening to this show, my guess is that you probably are seeking something like that or already have discovered it and want more support. So welcome. And I also want you to know that you are not alone. You are not alone in whatever place you find yourself, whether or not that be isolation or separation. You are one of many who know that a new day is possible and it is time. You know, I was sitting here right before this radio show today reflecting on the last 24 weeks of this radio show, Mastering the Shift, Living Your Noetic Reality. In a lot of ways, it's still kind of in its infancy. I just started this radio show right at the end of 2010. Here we are 24 weeks later, very much on this train going forward into all of the shifts that are taking place on the planet right now. And I've presented several radio shows, that brought forward a teaching from our spiritual reality. And I've named those shows Spirit's Mystery School. I want to talk a little bit about why I call it the Mystery School. You know, there's really, quite honestly, nothing mysterious about human nature. Once you study human nature for a few years, you kind of have it down. Now, all of us kind of put together our human nature in different ways. I mean, instead of going A, B, C, D, E, we might go F, J, M, Q, P. But it really is all of the same pieces, just put together in a different way. So the human nature doesn't have a lot of mystery to it. The spiritual nature of who we are does. And part of the mystery, I want to say, is because a lot of us have been really busy doing other things. So part of the mystery is that it's in the unknown. Yeah, we've been busy, haven't we? We've been raising our kids. We've been building our careers and our businesses. We've been paying our bills. We've been taking care of all the responsibilities in our life. So the unseen reality, which is sometimes what it's called, or the spiritual reality, has just really not been big on our radar. No worries. You know, the beauty of your spiritual reality is that it is present, has always been present, and will always be present. Another reason our spirituality is a mystery, I believe, is because its agenda is counterintuitive to the agenda of our human nature. Or put another way, our ego personality of who we are just can't quite wrap its head around many of the ways that spirit shows up and operates. It doesn't make sense. It's not rational to the ego mind. And many times it appears a little scary or unsafe. See, our ego personality doesn't like to take a back seat position when it's used to running the show. So deciding, for instance, to put our spiritual nature at the steering wheel, to really begin to delve into the mysteries of our spiritual nature and ask our ego mind to take a back seat rather than drop it off at the nearest rest stop. In other words, we don't get rid of the ego. We just say, no, why don't you sit in the back seat for a while and be quiet? Well, that doesn't always go over very well at first with the ego mind. But you know what? You have that power to change who and what is running your life. Well, all of this is a big lead-in to today's show. Today's show theme is called Shifting from Shame-Based to Grace-Based Reality. Well, I've picked a topic that is not very popular to talk about, shame. Looking at shame, feeling shame, and healing shame, as I said, is not the most popular kid on the block. The ego personality does not like looking or experiencing shame. In fact, many of us have buried our experiences of shame so deeply in our unconscious that we live in denial or avoidance or distraction and are really pretty much unconscious about everything I've just said. During my noetic counseling practice, during my career as being a counselor, which has been up until now over about 20 years, I have identified and observed many ways that shame impacts our life and the steps to set ourselves free from what I call the blanket of deadness, silence, and isolation. So on today's show, what I want to do is walk you through the experience of facing shame and how to begin to move it beyond it. And if at the end of the show you would like to do more work around healing shame in your life, I will tell you how. Let's repeat today's title of the show, Shifting from Shame-Based to Grace-Based Reality. So let me say that we are going to be focused on the shift. Well, let's start with a working definition of grace. Here's my working definition. Grace is the active expression or experience of the unconditional loving of spirit. The active expression and experience of the unconditional loving of spirit. Now, you could say grace is the active expression and experience of the unconditional loving of God, if you like, or source, or universal consciousness, all that is, you know, whatever name you want to call it. And we all have had an experience of grace. It is universal to this reality. But trying to pin that experience down, you know, that's not easy, for it shows up for each of us in a way that is unique to who we are. And my belief, which I find kind of very delightful, is that I believe grace is one of God's secret nudges that says, hey, guess what? You are not completely in control here. There may be something else going on. Would you like more experiences like that? And so how does grace show up? Some report that grace comes into their lives when they trust, they let go, they surrender. Others feel grace appears when they are in a state of gratitude or forgiveness, when their heart is open, or perhaps when they don't know where else to turn and finally ask for help and assistance. Grace also lends itself to poetic descriptions and images, like overflowing, unconditional, abundant, endless, like living waters or living love. We can grace someone with our presence, can't we? And that presence is usually described as perhaps loving, warm, kind, and unconditional. Grace saves us, unburdens us, takes us from our pain to peace, or fear to safety. And we can be in awe as to how it showed up, or we can expect it and watch for it, like watching the sun to rise in the morning and knowing it will appear. Some of us feel that having an experience of grace is luck, like winning the lottery. Others experience grace on a much more ongoing basis, choosing to live in grace. And some don't use the word grace at all because it's associated with religion. And yet all major religions speak about this experience called grace. Well, before I take my first break, perhaps this would be a good time for you to reflect on how grace shows up in your life. How have you been surprised, relieved, saved, given a break, received a blessing, a second chance, something you did not expect from grace? And you look back on that experience and you go, wow, that was grace. Or perhaps grace shows up for you daily in simple ways, like a smiling to a stranger or a spontaneous laughter, or finding a parking place, or hugging your kids, kissing your spouse, talking with a good friend. Would you like more moments of this serendipitous presence? Would you like to create more opportunities for grace to show up and have its way in your life? So maybe the ego personality of you discovers that having grace take the steering wheel is not only safe, but fulfilling. Well, I'm going to leave you with those questions, and there's more. So I hope you stick around. I'll be right back after this break. So, why have I coupled shifting from shame to grace? Why have I chosen shame? Well, I'm about to get into talking about shame. So, if this isn't an issue for you, I'd just like to remind you just to keep breathing. Keep breathing and stay present. The reason I couple shifting from shame to grace is because the experience of shame is the antithesis, that's kind of hard to say, antithesis experience of the experience of grace. If grace is awe-inspiring, a shameful experience is life-sucking. If grace asks us to trust, stay open, and let go, shame backs us into a small place inside and says, don't move. You don't deserve anything else. Shame feels sickening and has us out the door, separated and alienated in a blink of an eye. The knee-jerk reaction of shame can be visceral and overwhelming. We crumble inside and feel like someone pulled the rug out from under us. Take a moment and recall a moment of shame. It's okay to do that. I promise you, you won't get lost in it. Just ask yourself, what is my experience of shame? Now, shame has a cousin, and that cousin is blame. Shame, blame. You don't experience one without the other. Part of experiencing shame is feeling blamed, either by someone else or, more often, by ourselves. The litany of self-deprecation that can come forward from having tripped into a situation unaware of shame can open the floodgates to self-judgment and self-condemnation. And it can sound something like this. You are such a fool. I can't believe you made such a stupid mistake. You never learn. You did it again. How could you be so weak? What will people think of you now? How will you show your face? You are ruined. I will never trust that person or you again. You always let me down. Sound familiar? When we shame and blame ourselves, there is no warmth, no light, no second chance, and not even the thought that we deserve a second chance. This mistake to shame was fatal. It's like we want to cut that part off and throw it away. You know, I grew up with the phrase, throwing the baby out with the bathwater. It's an all or nothing game, and the stakes are very high. We thought we were standing in safe territory, but when shame shows up, we find ourselves on the edge, looking into a deep chasm and dangling by a thread. Now, I am dramatizing shame because most of us many years ago shut the door on these feelings. We don't even know they're there. Yes, they are very uncomfortable and hard to stay with. And sometimes our gut gets so uncomfortable that our bodies go into a very traumatic experience. Our body can shake, it can tremble, it can break out into a cold sweat. And that clenching gut inside can turn into nausea, and we want to run or get way far away from the experience. And if leaving the scene of the crime would end the shame experience, that might work, but it doesn't. What follows is the obsessive dialogue of self-blame and blaming the other and getting even, or what we would like to have said, or what we will tell them the next time we see them, or crafting that email and telling them a thing or two. So we get angry, and we judge, and we blame, and we exhaust our energy trying to feel better, looking for the best excuse or position to make it feel okay, to feel right again, to uphold our self-righteous position. Or we slam the door and lock it, and we steal a little more joy from our life. Well, I don't know about you, but when I talk about shame like this, you know, I have a hard time breathing. It's like I'm breathing very shallowly, like right now. So let's all take a nice deep breath and just let it go. And then maybe one more breath, relaxing whatever got tight as I described shame-based reality. Yeah, it didn't take much, did it? To just kind of bring it up. And good for you for staying present with yourself during this part. Awareness goes a long way to opening the doors into shifting the experience of shame and blame. Observing the body and our thoughts and our feelings is the first step in breaking the cycle of shame. And it is a cycle, like a rabbit hole we fell into and got lost in and we can't find our way out of. So staying with ourselves during the experience and asking ourselves, what is my body doing right now? What are my thoughts? What are my fears? My feelings? All of these questions bring forward the conscious mind in the midst of an overwhelming emotional experience like shame. One of the secrets of busting the shame blame game is staying with and staying conscious. Instead of feeling pulled under by the feelings or visceral reactions, we can engage the conscious mind and stay afloat through asking ourselves questions. Now, we may go under a time or two, but asking ourselves questions neutrally, consciously, and curiously, and breathing, we support ourselves. And it's like we build a big inner tube of awareness that keeps us afloat. After we are in a state, let's say, of being more conscious, of staying aware, the next step is to accept and not judge every thought, feeling, fear, and reaction. So, for instance, if your stomach is in a knot, we accept it. If we are feeling scared or ready to throw up, we accept it. If your thoughts are telling you this is crazy, I don't want to do this, she's out of your mind, we are in danger here, we keep breathing and we accept the feelings. And sometimes it works really well to say the acceptance statements out loud, you know, like things like, I accept I don't like looking at shame. I accept that I haven't wanted to look at this for a long time. I accept that it feels very scary to me, etc. And also taking in a nice deep breath between all of those statements really begins to bring in a whole nother level. You know, the brain, which is where the shame-based response is hardwired, can't tell the difference between being in a shameful experience and remembering a shameful experience. To the brain, it's all happening now. The neurons in the brain fire the same. Well, the good news, however, is in walking through a shameful experience from the past in this setting, staying conscious, awake, intentional, and curious, you can slow it down and begin to rewire the experience in your brain with new tools. And that's how we learn to shift. By interrupting the shame-based response with a new choice, a new neurological pathway, we create these new neurological pathways by setting into motion different responses. And pretty soon, your gut doesn't clench anymore. And every time you think of a shameful experience from the past, you can more easily breathe through it. And in a short while, you can walk yourself through the shame-based response with less agitation, fear, and then after some practice, you can actually clear it from yourself. You know, I mentioned at the beginning of the show that if you wanted to take this further, I would have a suggestion. So no worries. We'll get to that a little later. So taking the journey to reclaim yourself from the grip of shame, it can be scary, but it's also pretty fascinating, and I would like to say even beautiful. It's the secret serendipitous experience of grace that begins to show up as we reach out and give ourselves permission to claim these disowned parts of ourself, these deadened parts of ourself that I believe go along with shame, and to make a different choice in our life and to rewire those neurological pathways into new pathways that take us into a grace-based reality. We begin to open up to the power of grace, which is your birthright. You know, remember what I said at the beginning of the show? It's always here, has always been here, and will always be here. This is a grace-filled choice. You know that wonderful quote from Goethe, and I am going to take this quote from Goethe and say a little bit of it and then just paraphrase some of it. And here it goes, that the moment that one definitely commits oneself, then providence or grace moves too. all sorts of things occur to help one that would never otherwise have occurred. Whatever you can do or dream you can, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. Hi, welcome back. This is Rebecca Skeel, and I'm delighted you're staying with me through this program of shifting from shame-based reality to grace-based reality. Well, so far, we have covered step 2 and step 3 in a 7-step process that I have created to move us from shame to grace-based reality. And I have named this process Goal for Grace, an acronym, just so I can remember it really more than anything else. Goal for Grace. And let me tell you what the acronym stands for. Give up, observe, accept, listen. That's goal. Forgive, open, receive. And that's 4. And then grace. And remember, our working definition for grace is the active expression and experience of the unconditional loving of spirit. So goal for grace. And we have done so far in this radio show, I've given you a little taste of step 2 and step 3, which is observe and accept. So now what I'd like to do is I would like to spend some time on the 4th step, which is listen. And I've named this compassionately listening to ourself. Well, do you have a friend that you can call anytime and pour your heart out to that will listen and love you through it all? Or did you have a teacher, or do you have a teacher or a mentor when you were growing up that always had an open door policy and they encouraged you to come and talk and share what was going on, and you found yourself sometimes telling them what scared you, talking about your insecurities, how you didn't like so-and-so and didn't know what to do about it, or how awkward you felt around so-and-so and what could you do differently? Well, what if such a friend, a listener listened to you with compassion? What if you had that kind of friend inside of you? And what if this part of you always had your back? It wasn't there with all the answers necessarily, but it had the time and the commitment to hold you in compassion and love, and to love you however you felt and whatever was going on and whatever you were going through. Did you know you had the ability to do this for yourself? Well, where does this ability come from? Grace-based reality has its foundation in our divine or spiritual nature of who you are. Your divine nature, unlike your reactive human nature, unconditionally loves you, which means it does not shame or blame or judge you. Really? Yes, really. It can't. It's not its nature. Our divine nature lives in wholeness, which is another word for holiness, which is another word for loving. When we are whole, we are not separated, which is what happens when we judge. When we are whole, we know our worth, our value, and our completeness. We see it all, and we accept it all. We don't say to ourselves, oh, I don't want this part. It gives me trouble, so I'm going to throw it away. You know, throwing away something leaves a gap, and that's not wholeness. And also, we don't say, I don't like this part. It's inferior, so I'm not going to include it. Not including a part leaves a space, kind of like Swiss cheese. It's not solid. Now, nothing against Swiss cheese. I really like Swiss cheese. I'm just using that as an image. Well, imagine for a moment that you could draw a linear line from the age you are right now all the way back to the beginning of your life. Just imagine this line going all the way back to the beginning of your life. Now, on that line, You were to document all the major events of your life, all the good events, and all the ones that you see as bad, all the joyful, all the messy, all the ugly, and all the beautiful. And then imagine that you drew a large circle around your entire life, around that entire line and all of the experiences. The wholeness of your life completely accepts and loves you. The divinity and spiritual nature completely accepts and loves all those experiences. All of it. Even that, you might say. Yes, even that. I call this part of you the compassionate listener. It listens to you without judgment. When we engage this part and invite it in, it holds compassion for us when we are having a hard time loving ourselves or something that we did or didn't do, and it always supports us in our choices and does not inflict or interfere in any way. Now this part, this compassionate listener, you know, it must be discovered and experienced for yourself. Please don't take my word for it. I'm not trying to tell you something about or ask you to believe in anything that you have not experienced. But you know, I've discovered this part in myself, and I have taught hundreds of people to do it for themselves. And when someone discovers that they have a compassionate listener inside themselves, they report back in a very similar way. When we feel 100% unconditionally loved and accepted in what we are thinking and feeling, no matter how hard and painful it might be in the moment to admit, that holding or container feels very safe. And that safety transmutes the old impulse to judge, and it transmutes it into a new reference point of beginning to see or experience how I could accept this part as well. How I could move more into acknowledging and not judging as well. And I begin to experience this painful, awkward, shame-based place with new eyes. And that is an experience of grace. So this is step 4 in a 7-step process, which is listening compassionately. Now, if this sounds right now beyond an experience you have ever had with yourself, or you're still scratching your head as to how you could do this for yourself and doubting your ability, well, no worries. You know what? That compassionate part of you knows how to do this. It knows how to listen compassionately. It knows not to judge. Your job is to create a space for it. Yeah, that's your job. Your job is to invite it in. Your job is to have a willingness to take a look, to experience something new. Your job is to choose and open up. That's your job. And so it begins with a choice, doesn't it? It always begins with a choice, because you are actually wired this way. You are wired for wholeness, not separation. You are wired to feel the holiness of who you are, not the isolation and the aloneness. Well, now you might be thinking, I thought I was hardwired to have shame-based reactions. Well, yes, in your brain you are. You have wired your brain around shame-based reactions. But see, you are more than your brain, your thoughts, your feelings, and what has happened to you up until now. So I just want to review a bit about this process that I've created, this grace-based reality, and how to shift out of shame into it. It's based in spiritual tools. I consider all of these spiritual tools because they come from a greater reality of who we are, from that mystery. Remember, we talked about the mystery, to fashion a fresh, alive, vibrant, and expansive place inside of you that can replace what now is inhabited by shame and blame. Yeah, just consider that for a moment. What if you no longer had shame and blame wired into the hardwiring of your brain? So again, it's goal for grace. And the seven steps are give up, observe, accept, listen, forgive, open, and receive. And once again, our working definition for grace is grace is the active expression and experience of the unconditional loving of spirit. Yes, welcome back. Okay, well, I think we've done the heavy lifting so far in the show. So I said earlier that if you want to take this information to a deeper level for yourself and to work through these steps for yourself and begin transforming and busting the shame blame game in your life and shift into grace, I've created an e-course. A do-it-yourself e-course entitled Co-Creating a Grace-Based Reality for $199. Now, this e-course will cover the first four steps of Goal for Grace, giving up, observing, accepting, and listening. Exactly what we covered in this radio show, but to a much more deeper level for yourself. For you will receive so much in each e-course lesson that comes into your inbox, in your email every week. And you will get a bonus of receiving a free copy of my book, You Can Make It Heaven, How to Enrich Your Life with Abundance and Loving. And the reason I'm giving you a free copy of my book is because this book is actually a big support for anyone who wants to shift beyond shame, blame. And I just want to tell you the four parts of the book very quickly. The first part is glimpsing new possibilities. Part number two is recognizing self-limitations. That would be the shame and the blame. Part number three is liberation. Now, that would be getting into more of what I'll be teaching in the e-course. And then part number four, co-creating your divine nature. That's much more into what I talk about week after week on this show when I talk about the noetic reality and the spiritual reality of who you are. So also in each weekly lesson, you'll have links to past Mastering the Shift, Living Your Noetic Reality radio shows, because I've done a number of Spirit Mystery Schools shows focusing on a lot of the elements that I put into this e-course, Goal for Grace. So just to recap, it's a 5-week do-it-yourself, at-home e-course, co-creating your grace-based reality for $199, plus a free copy of my book, You Can Make It Heaven, How to Enrich Your Life with Abundance and Loving. So how do you register? Well, you want to go to my website, which is www.makeitheaven.com. And on the right, you will see New E-Course, and just click it. And right there will be the registration form, and then we will proceed from there. So again, the website is makeitheaven.com. Well, what would be, imagine for a moment that in 5 weeks, let's say you sign up this week, in 5 weeks, you will have worked through and cleared so much of your shame-based reality and begun to rewire those neurological synapses in your brain for grace. Well, think about it for a moment. How would your life be different? Would you have less pain or less body stress? Maybe your health would improve. Maybe you'd have more joy and happiness to share with your children, with your loved ones. Maybe you'd have less fear, less hiding. And maybe you would feel more authentic. I'd like to suggest that any and all of that and much more is available. For remember, we are dealing in the mystery of the spiritual reality of who you are. So once again, if you're interested, please visit www.makeitheaven.com and click New, Co-Creating a Grace-Based Reality e-course. Well, if you have any comments about today's show or any of the past shows on Mastering the Shift, you can send me an email at Rebecca@makeitheaven.com. You can join my free newsletter by visiting my website, makeitheaven.com, and click that link. You can find me on Facebook. You can also find the radio show, Mastering the Shift, on Facebook. And if you'd like to join the radio show page, just click like. You can follow me on Twitter, Rebecca.Skeel. You can join my professional network on LinkedIn. There are a lot of ways to stay in touch if this information is really striking a chord with you. Well, next week, let's talk about next week's show. I will welcome two guests, Sheva Carr and Robert Browning, to talk about the how and happily ever after. Yes, Sheva and Robert have been in a loving, conscious relationship for 14 years and will share candidly how to create the lasting partnership and loving ship of long-term relationships. So, if you are in a committed relationship, you're wanting one, you're contemplating creating one in your life, this show will be full of tales from the true life unfolding of two hearts and all that goes along with this. Sheva Carr and Robert Browning will also be featured by themselves in the weeks and months to come as they are accomplished experts in their fields, dedicated to ushering more heart-centered communication onto the planet. So next week, send the word out, relationships, the how and happily ever after. You know, I've really enjoyed sharing this radio show with you today, moving from shame-based to grace-based reality. I really suggest that if this radio show struck a chord with you, you might want to listen to it again. This is one of those shows that I put a lot in. And if you slow it down, if you listen to it a bit at a time, you'll begin to track even more what is possible for you as you allow yourself to open and receive. Ah, those are the last two steps in my program. Open, receive what is available to you.